first reading is taken from Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, and a little bit. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not, who opened the eyes of the blind, have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do have a seat. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say this Apostles' Creed as part of our worship. Churchgoers have been saying it for centuries. But do we believe it? Do we really believe that last part where it says, "We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting"? To believe means to have faith in. faith is defined as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Going back to the creed, I would suggest that belief in the end of this statement is linked to belief in the beginning of the statement. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Belief in what happens at the end is linked to belief in what happened at the beginning. Our Bible starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our society has done a pretty good job of persuading people not to believe that. We hear people say, ah well, it all happened by chance. It was the Big Bang. Or they say, I believe in something, I just don't know what it is. Or, I believe in the man upstairs, but I can't really tell you what he's like. The definition of faith says it's about complete trust or confidence in someone or something. I like to think that complete trust or confidence in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, we need to have complete trust in the person of God in Trinity, as revealed to us by Jesus. Confidence in the promises of the Bible is dependent on confidence in what God is like. Our passage from John's Gospel shows us this. More of that later. One of my favourite films is When Harry Met Sally. It's a bit old now, like me. But there's a scene in the movie where Harry is talking to Sally as they get to know each other and saying she's a bit of a Pollyanna, always looking on the bright side. But that he has a dark side. He's more a man of the world. He says to her in the film, when I buy a new book, I read the last page first. That way, in case I die before I finish, I know how it ends. Now I'm going to ask you a question, but please don't put your hand up. We'll keep it secret so nobody feels shown up. How many of you have read the end of the Bible? Do you know the ending? Here it is. The last two verses of the last chapter of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. He who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. The same Jesus who created the world. The same Jesus who walked by the Galilee and loved people and taught people. The same Jesus whom they murdered and whom Father raised from the dead and who then ascended to heaven. This same Jesus is coming again. He is. It hasn't been soon. But I think it will be suddenly, out of nowhere, when we least expect it. All of the Bible points to it. Yet do we really believe it? Now, a lot of people don't know what it says in the Bible, especially Revelation, which is seen as some sort of Dungeons and Dragons fantasy. Some people wonder what John was smoking when he wrote it. But because the imagery is fantastic and otherworldly, doesn't mean it should be dismissed. The epic poetic style should not diminish what it is telling us. I think the creation of the world and what happens at the end of the world are equally challenging for people to believe. We have a vague notion of them, that they might in some way be true. But we don't study them or talk about them or really buy into them.
I can't remember the last time Revelation was read in this church. But for many, it's a sort of vague possibility rather than a complete trust that it happened and is going to happen. And I think it was ever so. The real trumps vague possibilities of the future every time. Our belief in the end has been overtaken by thoughts that Jesus was a good man with good teachings, but it was a long time ago, and we've got to make the world a better place ourselves because he is not here. Our belief in Jesus can get a bit theoretical without much hope or power in it. So let's look at something a bit more real. Jesus as God with us is described in earthly real terms in the Gospels. His life on earth, historically, is extremely well documented. Look at Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ, if you don't believe me. When you look at the Gospel accounts of Jesus' time on earth with his friends Mary, Martha and Lazarus, you can see what Jesus is like. They knew their friend. They saw his love in action. They knew him as God incarnate, but also as someone who laughed with them, drank wine with them, ate food, walked by the lake, and had really good conversations about what it meant to live a really good life. He was their friend, and he loved them, and would do anything for them. This was real. Martha could believe in his love and friendship. As a good Jew, she also had a theoretical belief in the resurrection at the last day. This is recorded in verse 24 of the Gospel, a bit before our lectionary scriptures for today. It is thought that Jews believed in a resurrection to life on earth. And that's shown in such scriptures as Daniel 12:13. Daniel, go on your way until the end. Your body will rest in the grave. Then at the end of the days, you will rise from the dead and you will receive what God has appointed for you. Opinion was divided, but for many, like Martha, it might have been only a theoretical belief. When her brother died, it did not help Martha to feel better, knowing that he might be resurrected at some time in some place. This did not lessen her overwhelming sadness. She wanted Jesus to be there when her brother was ill, so that he could heal him. Jesus had healed many people. She had heard about it and seen it, and she believed it. But he showed her that he is the resurrection and the life, as well as a worker of healing miracles. He showed her something even more amazing than his healing miracles when he brought her brother back from the dead. We need something concrete like this, rather than a theoretical belief when it all goes peep-tong. A theoretical belief isn't much use to Gemma or Joyce at the moment. Joyce Farrell has gone. She is not here. And she's missed so much, it makes you feel all numb inside. And we need to talk about this stuff to make it more real and less theoretical. We need to retell the story of Lazarus over and over. Enough of your dry, dusty theories. Look at me, says Jesus. Believe in me. I am the resurrection and the life. So let's watch Robert Powell with his lovely blue eyes bringing Lazarus out of that cave in the TV version of Jesus of Nazareth. I know Jesus, as a Jew from the Middle East, likely did not have blue eyes, but watching it on telly brings it to life for me. And we need to read the book of Revelation, because amidst the fabulous apocalyptic imagery are our promises. Let's hear them again. And when you read, he said to me, it's Jesus talking. Remember that too. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So on this day, when we feel sad about our departed loved ones, as well as remembering how lovely they are, it's good to remember the Lazarus story. Jesus is real, his promises are true, and he acts on them. And if you are sick of watching the daily news and feeling like our world or parts of it are rather horrid, dwell on these revelation promises about what the new earth will be like. No more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Keep talking about it. Keep reading about it. Keep watching your Jesus of Nazareth, your Narnia, or your Lord of the Rings. The magic is real. And when Jesus does return, we won't need our belief anymore, but we will still love him. Amen.